This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's time for real stories from those who make our region and our country their home. Time for Making Yourself at Home, thanks to the support from the Ethnic Communities Development Fund.
Good morning with Gormin. Welcome everyone to Making Yourself at Home. We are here in the studio at Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM, your voice, your choice. I am Clara from Spain, and today I am co-hosting with Brian from the US. And we have our special guest called Jan, who Brian is going to introduce us to.
Yeah, today we have Jeanne in the studio. She's born in Madagascar and has had an interesting journey on her way to making herself at home here in Taranaki. And we are very much looking forward to hearing about her stops along the way to get here, as well as her business of making handcrafted paper flowers, which she gifted to the studio this morning, and they're absolutely beautiful. Also, she does teaching French. You'll pick up on her French accent, and she also enjoys fashion, the arts, cooking, and gardening, and also lots of travel. So yeah, everybody, including our listeners, I'm sure are looking forward to this conversation. Welcome to the studio, Jeanne.
Thank you. Hi.
How are you feeling, Jan?
I am feeling very honored and a bit stressed as well and excited. Thank you very much for having me.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, I don't know where to start because I have so many things I want to ask you about your trip, about your new business. But perhaps let's start about how was your journey to New Zealand from France? Why did you decide to move to New Zealand?
So I came here in 2018, first as a working holiday visa. And I wanted to be an au pair. So I came here in New Plymouth, Taranaki for this. And I was supposed to do for a year. And at the end, I just did 6 months. But at the end of my 6 months, I met a French guy. And now he's my husband. So after 7 years, I'm still here. So now it's my home.
Mm. Wow. So you met your husband very early on your journey in New Zealand.
Yeah. He was my flatmate, so we met at home, actually.
Mm-hmm. Broke the flatmate rules. The flatmate rules.
Indeed.
Funny. And so you were living in France, and do you want to talk about what inspired you to move to the other side of the world? Maybe stops along the way?
I was born in Madagascar. I left when I was 4 years old, and I've been adopted. So I think traveling is definitely in my bones, and my family is, I used to travel a lot with them as well. I always wanted to speak English, so I thought that being an au pair would be the best option for me, traveling, learning, and I love kids, so it helps a lot. This is why I just decided to leave, but I was just for a year at the beginning, but actually, I'm still here.
Mm. Do you still have involvement with the family that you were an au pair for?
No, okay. Not at all. That was a very bad experience.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
That was a very bad experience, but I am just very grateful at the end because I met my husband, so that's a good ending.
Mm. Yeah. And when you arrived in Taranaki, besides maybe the challenges of living with the family, how did you feel when you arrived in New Zealand? What was your first impression?
Interesting. The first message I sent to my mom was, there are really people living upside down here because it's definitely the far end of the world from France. So I was very surprised. I didn't know anything about New Zealand. I picked it really randomly because just I had a match with the family here in New Plymouth. So I didn't know anything. I haven't watched any of the movies, like Game of Lord of the Rings. And I don't know. I liked it. It's nice. It's quiet. It's peaceful. It's laid back. New Plymouth, I think, is a great place to live because the size, there's a lot of happening. There's a nice community as well. So I'm quite lucky for coming here in Taranaki straight away.
I'm curious, why did you come to Taranaki instead of other cities in New Zealand?
I think it's just because it was random. Just because I was on this website called Au Pair World, and I just had a match with this family, and she was here in New Plymouth.
So it was randomly.
Yeah, that was just for the au pair situation.
It's funny, New Plymouth just seems kind of out of the way from everything, and even Kiwis don't really have an idea of what's going on out here in the peninsula, and it's kind of still an unknown track and a hidden gem for New Zealand.
Yeah, but I think it's getting more and more popular. Like my husband's been here for 15 years now, and you can tell that it changed a lot. And other people as well, they came like 20 years ago and they can't recognize it because it just absolutely, it's vibrant. It's a vibrant place. And even if you have to do a detour from, I don't know, Auckland or Wellington, it's definitely worth it. I've been to different places in New Zealand, but not much through my 7 years. And I can tell every time I come back here in New Plymouth, it's just a great place to live.
Yeah,
it's just really good. It's by the sea, it's big enough. There's all this thing, like every seasons, every month, there's something, festivals, musics.
That's a good summary of
the city.
It offers a lot without the hustle and bustle of a big city.
And you just recently came from a really big trip, like a tour around the world. How was it coming back? And then we can talk about your trip, but how was the feeling of coming back to New Plymouth after 6 months of traveling to different countries?
Coming back home is always, that always have a weird feeling. It's good. We realize how lucky we were being away so far and discovering new places. We have many things to look forward to, so that's fine. It's just that I'm looking for the hot days to come, and it's going to be better for sure. But I'm happy to be back. Of course, it's home now. So yeah.
Let's dive into the trip, the 6 months of globetrotting. What was the inspiration, and where did you go, and your highlights, and how did you get by for 6 months?
Yeah, traveling is just absolutely amazing. The decision was because my husband asked for a sabbatical, so he had 6 months off, six and a half actually. So he did not work for 6.5 months. That was pretty much amazing. And we call this our honeymoon because we got married a year ago, kind of, in August 24. So that was our honeymoon. And he planned everything. My husband, he had an amazing planning, and we decided countries together, and we had just so much fun. That was an amazing trip.
Cool.
Did you visit any places where you had the feeling you wanted to stay there? Like, oh, perhaps I could live here.
No.
Okay.
No. Maybe France, but no. Otherwise, we like the places everywhere. But every time we are just realizing how lucky we are in New Plymouth and at home, because traveling is great, but it's not as we don't really rest. Like it's very tiring, if I may say. So when we came back home, we were like, yeah, this is home.
Nice. Yeah, that's a nice feeling, I guess.
Yeah, but we liked the places we went to. Like the place that was a bit hard for us was Dominican Republic. Is it how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That was nice, but 20 days were probably too much. So we didn't do much because basically there's nothing much to do. Snorkeling, laying on the beach, but yeah, that's it. We didn't do much, so that was probably too long, 20 days. Yeah, and the customer service was not so great.
Well, I guess because you are experienced in hospitality, so you could measure that from the inside, no? Having inside knowledge about what is good customer service.
Yeah, but just for example, in Bali or even in Philippines, the people there are absolutely amazing. They are just great, and it's like they give themselves for the customers and for the service. It's like they are really amazing. So just Dominican Republic, comparing to these countries, was a bit average. But that's my opinion, of course. And but we did like some places we spent some time there.
In your trips, did you have like anything funny that happened or any anecdotes that made you laugh and then you remember together? Any
yeah.
surprises or anything like you were like, oh.
What made it an adventure?
Yes.
The places we've been to, we've never been there, except Bali at the very end. But otherwise, we just wanted to discover South America.
Mm.
And we really wanted to, like in Costa Rica, we really wanted to see some crocodiles. And there was a challenge to find some. So at the very end of the day, we ended up in the park. And we finally saw them. Mm-hmm. There were heaps of them, a lot in the water, and that was my highlight of the trip because I never seen crocodiles so close from me, and they were just impressive, and they were so exciting. I think I have a video of it, and I look like I'm 8 years old on it because I'm so excited.
I've heard really nice things about Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Did you explore anywhere else in that part of the world?
So Costa Rica, we did Colombia, Rio, we loved Rio.
And Brazil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we loved Rio. We spent 10 days there. What else? Peru, yeah. Well, the other highlight, of course, is Machu Picchu.
Mm.
This was incredible. The walk was 14 kilometers. We did to go up in the village, in the ruins, and the light and the space, the atmosphere. I felt just amazed by the place. I loved it. I loved Machu Picchu. That was so rewarding.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How crowded was that?
Machu Picchu.
Yeah.
That was. I didn't feel so much crowd, because it's limited.
Okay.
Every day.
Cool.
It's limited. And the circuits, like the walks in the ruins, in the village, they are from one entrance to one exit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only one way.
Mm.
So it flows well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't go back to your, how do you say?
Original.
Yeah. So you don't cross too much people.
That's nice.
And I don't think that was high season.
Okay.
So I didn't feel so much people. No.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Did you go in Peru to the jungle, Amazonas?
No.
Okay.
No. Next time, maybe. Okay. Yeah.
I have a friend that just came from there, and she just fell in love with that area of Peru, like I did when I went to Bali. So I was like, oh, I want to talk with more people that just visited Peru and see how they feel about being in the jungle over there. Mm.
Oh yeah, the jungle.
Yeah.
And
how was your Spanish over there? Did you practice?
Un poquito.
Un poquito,
sí.
Muy bien.
Pero entender.
Yeah, Jen and I were having Spanish coffee catch-ups so that she could practice her Spanish with me before her trip. So yeah, I'm sure you make use of that.
Yes, yeah, you actually helped me a lot. And I got more confident by the time, but The thing is, my husband speaks fluently Spanish, so I leaned on him, which is not good because I could have practiced more, but it was very handy. Mm. But it was nice speaking Spanish.
And what about the food? Because you have been in so many different places in a short period of time. What was the highlight in the new things that you tried with food or drinks or things like that?
I think Costa Rica, I liked it because there were a lot of fried chicken, which is not healthy at all, but I love it. otherwise, we were trying to cook as soon as we had a kitchen, so we cooked a lot of veggies and what else? A lot of rice. The food overall was good in every country. Well, of course, my best place to eat was France because there I know everything. So I'm very, very happy. And I have my oysters every Friday. So I'm very happy about that. But the South American food was good. Brazilian food was great too. A bit salty maybe. And what else? Everything was good. Nothing was bad.
What was the food like in Brazil? What kind of dishes did you enjoy?
In Brazil they do feijoada. So it's a pot with a lot of meat in there and some beans, but it's very thick and it's very filling, and the portion is huge. So it's just like a stew. It's a long cooked.
Slow cooked
meal, and it, you just have that with rice. That's it. But that's good. That's very yummy. That's very yummy. Yeah, and they have a fish as well. They cook it with spice, in the sauce. It's yummy too.
And talking about French food, what things do you miss the most, or what things do you bring from your culture to your home here in New Zealand?
So in New Zealand, I am a bit frustrated about food.
You can tell us, it's okay.
I think that I don't know. There's a lack for me. There's a lack of diversity. But I think through 7 years, I didn't really give a chance to the New Zealand food because I'm always go back to France every 6 months, so it's not very fair. But what I missed the most is probably, I don't know. It's some ingredients like lardon in French. Here it's a cube of bacon, but it's not the same. And the pig, the pork, here they don't do much with it, but in France we eat any part of it, of the pig, like the ears, the tongue, the queue, the tail, I mean. Luckily, around Christmas, I still do here in New Zealand my snails. I do my snails that I got at Otimo, so I cook them up and I do the butter and the garlic and the parsley.
They canned?
Yes, okay. Yeah, here they can, but you buy the shell and you put the snail in the shell and you put the butter, the salt and the parsley in it and you bake them in the oven. So this I'm happy, and otherwise I think it's, there's a lot of veggies here, so that's good. That's okay. There's nothing that I miss really a lot. It's just that when I'm in France, I'm just very relieved. Mm-hmm. Is it okay to say that?
Yes, it's okay. I understand that feeling.
But nothing wrong in New Zealand's food. It's just that it's a different country. It's a different things. So it's fine. It's absolutely fine.
What's the favorite? Because you mentioned you like cooking. Yeah. What's your favorite recipe to cook?
So Seb, my husband, and I, we love doing cooking chicken. And it's really good, he's really good at fish, so I never cook fish. Otherwise, as a French woman, I love sauce, like a dish in sauce, stew. Mm. I like making stew. Or French soup as well, or French onion soup that I made.
Oh, I love that.
The other night. Two days ago, I cooked a rougail saucisse. So it's a sausage with spices and tomato and ginger, and it's slow cooked for a long time, and it's sausage with chicken, so that's quite nice. But this is more from next to Madagascar, which is Réunion. Mm-hmm. They cook this in Madagascar and in Réunion, so it's a bit, it's very flavorful with a lot of spices. It's not hot, it's just very tasty.
Mm.
Yeah, this I like. It's easy to make here. Even if the sausage is a bit hard, to find. The best one are the Toulouse sausage, but those one we can find them probably at TLC meat. Yeah. Otherwise, the one I took was not great. I have to take the right sausage better.
Mm. Have you spent much time back in Madagascar or anywhere else in sub-Saharan Africa?
Mm. Unfortunately, I've been only once since I've adopted. So that was in 2012. I think I was 12, and that was my first time. That was one of my best trip ever for many, many reasons. But the most one would be because I came back and I changed. I was someone else. I discovered myself so much through the trip because Madagascar is very specific. I mean, it's a country in Africa, and I understand so much about myself. Mm. So when I came back, I was like, wow, now I know who I am. And I know that why I'm like that and why I love rice so much, because rice is... Rice is my life, and I understood straight away because it's rice there every meal, even at breakfast, like in Asia actually. But I loved it, and I was emotive. That was a very strong trip, very strong with my parents. And probably the day before leaving, I said to my mom, "I don't want to go. I'm too stressed." And she said, "I think you should come." So I went. Never regret. That was just amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow, it sounds very special, like connecting with your roots.
Yeah.
Like a part that is part of you, and then you can take it to New Zealand or to France or wherever you go.
I am absolutely grateful for having a French vibe and Malagasy from Madagascar, a Malagasy roots, because I think it's a great cocktail. And when I saw the people there in Madagascar, they're always smiling. They don't need anything to be happy. They share. They give everything they can to make yourself comfortable at home. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I'm very grateful. I'm very happy and honored as well. Mm-hmm. And there's one thing, when I went there, I had this very old man, and he saw me, and I didn't know him, and he said, "Don't forget, your blood is from here."
Hmm.
And this guy was, he came from nowhere.
Oh, I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah, and I felt, I was impressive. I was, oh my goodness, that was beautiful. And I think it's because he saw me with my family. So I was with my dad, my mom, my two brothers, and of course they're white. So they were a bit surprised maybe to see me with those white people. And this elderly guy in this hotel, he said that to me, and I was like, you're right, and I'm so happy for it. I think that was my best trip so far. Madagascar.
Beautiful.
Do you think you will go back?
Yeah, of course. I have to bring my husband there. He has to know why I'm like that. He has to see by himself. But it's a bit hard to travel in Madagascar at the moment. It's it's very unstable. Have to be careful some places you go. And it's a Vaza, so a white people, a Vaza. So you have to be careful as well. So I should learn Malagasy. maybe it's somewhere behind. I would love to go back there.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my goals.
Hmm.
It's a very unique country, being an island off of Africa, and it's just, yeah, it's been kind of its own petri dish of culture, and the ecosystem, the ecology there is so unique to anywhere else on the planet.
That's right.
Seems like a very, very interesting country to get to know and travel in.
That's right.
I have some friends that they had to be evacuated out of. They were volunteers in Madagascar when I was living in Zambia, and they had to be evacuated, and some of the people that were volunteering in Madagascar got moved to Zambia to finish their service.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've heard some amazing things about living in Madagascar.
Yeah. Mm. No, that's a beautiful country. And it's funny because I always loved Céline Dion.
Oh, yeah.
I always loved Céline Dion, and I never knew why, because no one listened to Céline Dion in my family. But when I went to Madagascar, we went to this bus, like a very local raw bus, and they put a CD on, and it was Céline Dion.
During my time in Zambia, I heard a lot of Celine Dion. It's really funny.
I was like, oh, is it probably why? Because they love Celine Dion there. It's funny. I left when I was only 4, but I probably heard a lot of Celine Dion from my 0 to 4 years old.
Hilarious.
And I wanted to ask you about your new business. Because when I saw it, it felt like quite unique and different. And I don't know I am aware of any other businesses that are doing handcrafted paper flowers. Can you tell us about it? How did you start it? And how did the idea came to you?
It's funny, right? So you never heard about paper flower?
I have seen them in places, like in Spain mainly, I think. But not in New Zealand as much.
That's good. There's a niche.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say so.
So it's a bit insane, because I had this idea of doing this while I was on my honeymoon, like my 6 month trip with my husband. And it's only because for my wedding, I made them. I made my flowers from paper.
Cool.
And I loved it. I loved doing them. I was sitting and doing my craft papers, and I was so happy listening to music. And I was like, I should do that. Like, there's definitely something. I love doing it. I love flowers. Flowers is my life, with rice. I love rice.
Rice and flowers.
I love it. I'm always amazed by the colors, the shape, the lights, the everything. For me, flowers is like what you say, exclamation mark from nature's. You know, it's just like, wow. You look at them and you feel just better. But to me, flowers has to stay where they are. You know, in this field, in the garden, they have to bloom, they have to live, they have to be there. It's better. So maybe with paper flowers, you can find another solution. You can just keep them longer, actually pretty much forever. It's a bit more sustainable to me. That's my opinion. And you can custom them as much as you want to. You can make a bouquet, you can change the colors, you can change the size. There's many, many perks, advantages on paper flower. So I thought that maybe I would just do that. So I had the idea when I was in Costa Rica. I said to my husband, oh, I think I'll do that. And he was like, yeah, that's such a good idea. Because Sam is very supportive. It's absolutely amazing. I said, yeah, that's such a good idea. There's a niche, do it. So here I am, now I'm doing it. And I took my time in France to train myself, because the one I met for my wedding was not as great as those ones. They are with those ones are with crepe paper, so it's better. And the wedding was with other type of paper, which is not as great. So this business here is with crepe paper, and I'm really hoping to give some joy and color and happiness through it, because you can keep them forever. So that's cool.
And so before the show, we were talking, and you said you have a booth at a market coming up?
Yeah, that's okay. Right. That's right. My first market day is on November 2nd, mm-hmm. Yeah, which is very exciting. And I don't know if I'm ready yet, but I'm definitely go for it. Yeah. I am all the way, like, yeah, let's do it. I've been crafting a lot since I came back. The first thing we done with my husband was to paint the walls, because I have the atelier, the floral atelier at home, and this is where I wish customers will come and buy. So and do some, how do you say, some activities as well.
Workshops for people to learn.
Oh. Yeah,
that sounds amazing.
And do so. I'm just
started.
Making this. Yeah, not no, if you want to. If you like flowers, of course you are more than
I
welcome.
Love flowers, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's very exciting. I am very excited. I'm really looking forward to see how it goes. But I am doing the full job, like website, business cards, flower shop at home, welcoming space. I mean, yeah, it's gonna be a great. Great thing! I'm very pleased. Mm. I'm looking forward to see how it's gonna be.
And you gifted some flowers to the station here, and you said that in the future you'll be coming in to replace them, just to trade them out to keep things fresh. I was thinking, oh, that'd be an incredible subscription service.
Actually,
to where if you know somebody signs up every month, you deliver, you trade out the flowers. From just to keep things looking fresh in the homes.
That's it's just insane that you say that, because it's one of my ideas.
Awesome.
It's, yeah, and the website is gonna be to subscribe for flowers every fortnight or every month, so you can you have a new bouquet.
Yeah.
Because paper flowers stays the last pretty much forever, but you sometimes can be bored as well on having those flowers in your bench or on your table. So if you want just to make it different, every month, every fortnight, you can have a new one, a new bouquet. Either you'll come to the floral shop and you just bring your old one to have a new one, or you can be delivered as well through Bell Block, Owakura, and New Plymouth area. So it's a way of having a nice, different bouquet on your space, and it's very sustainable because those flowers will be swapped and changed. So it's a nice way of having colors in your place and joy as well.
Keeping things fresh.
Yeah.
It makes
flowers.
Sense because it's like in nature, we don't have the same flowers all the year round, and sometimes like different seasons we will see in nature different type of flowers. So I guess it would be the same for people with paper flowers at home. They might, in summer, they might feel more like dahlias, I guess. No, like this type of flowers, and in winter, other type of flowers.
Yeah, but at the same time, you can as well have them while it's not the season, you know? That's
yes,
nice.
Yes,
can,
the opposite, that's
for,
true.
You can ask for peonies, how do you say? Peonies.
Peonies,
yeah. When it's not the season, you can ask for beautiful roses in the middle of winter.
Last minute when you forgot to get it for Valentine's Day and everybody else is sold out and you need some paper flowers.
For example, yeah, there are many reasons, many opportunities and events that you need flowers. So as a gift or just for yourself or as a wedding, it's tremendous of reasons. That's cool.
Yeah, and who taught you that? Like when you did the ones for your wedding, how did you know how to do them?
Oh, just myself.
Okay.
Just,
self-taught.
Yeah, just myself. It's you just have to look at one picture. And that's what I'm doing actually at the moment. I look at one picture over my phone, or I go into my garden and I just take a picture and I take them up and I just watch them. That's the first process. You watch, and you see how many petals, how big, if there is a stamen. How do you say stamen?
Stamen.
How the stems. I'm really bad with words. Stems. So you should observe and try to replicate a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's art as well. So you can as well do as your feeling goes.
Creative process.
Yeah. So that's what I love. I do perception, and I say, oh, let's do it like that. Oh, that's beautiful. Let's do it like that. Because in nature, there are so many type of flowers that you don't even know they exist.
Yes.
And one shape like that, and the same, a little bit different, would be a cherry blossom. And this one would be, oh, no, this one would be, I don't know, a wild roses. Mm. They're really similar, but they're not the same. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So
if you're ever lucky enough to visit Palmerston North, which I mentioned before the show I lived there, there's an amazing rose garden there.
Oh.
So yeah, if you're ever heading down that way for any reason,
yeah,
highly recommend going through there and picking up some inspiration.
Oh, yeah.
Just an incredible array of different varieties of flowers.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Beautiful. Mm. Love it. Yeah, this might be beautiful to visit.
Mm.
And the thing as well about making them is I have an art degree from Paris, so it's basically, how do you say, in French you call this art plastique, and in English, creative art, maybe, it's like something like that. So it's definitely what I'm doing. I take from a 2D paper, I make something in 3Ds or even 4Ds because I can them, and it's I can even put some perfume on it, a little dash, but don't do it too much because if you put it on the table, you might it's annoying. It's like a lily, you know. You have lily and on your, what is it, iris? No, lis. Sorry, you have lis on your table, but it smells a lot. It's quite pungent, so sometimes it's annoying. You have to take them away because you are eating.
Yes,
and it's not working. But those papers, you don't have the smell if you don't want to. So it's not annoying. You won't be bothered. So this degree is aligned. It's perfect with what I'm doing. So I'm quite happy. It's a good investment.
Yeah, it looks like that. So people, our listeners, if they want to check out your flowers, they will be able to find and check them out at the market in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
what market is that?
It's what date? Oh,
what market is
in
it?
The Namuto, no?
Beach.
The beach,
okay.
Beach side?
Yeah, Namuto Beach, the seaside. So I'll be there every first Sunday and every third Sunday. Huh? First and third Sundays, and sometimes on Friday nights. But it's on Seaside Market. You can find them through Facebook or Instagram. And myself is the same, Eternel. So my brand is called Eternel, which is a French word, and it means eternal. So it's quite easy, right? Eternel, eternal, which means forever. And I like that it's French, of course, because I am French, so it's part of me. And by JT, because I am Jeanne Thiebaud, and I thought that was just easy.
Your initials.
Eternel by JT.
And if people want to reach out to you, because I imagine the website perhaps is in the making, do you have an email or perhaps social media that people reach out to you?
Thank you, Clara. I have a Instagram, Eternel by JT, so Eternel by J.T, and a Facebook page as well, Eternel by J.T. And an email, of course, which is contact@eternelbyjt.co.nz. So contact@eternelbyjt.co.nz. That's very exciting.
Awesome. We will share all of those things when we post the interview for our listeners to check it out.
That's so generous of you. Thank you so much.
It's spelled as eternal would be, E-T-E-R-N-A-L?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. It's like eternal, like the English one, but with an E instead of the A at the end.
Okay.
Eternel.
No. Okay.
Eternel.
Cool.
Mm.
Yeah.
So our time is running up, if you can believe it or not.
Okay.
Something we do like to ask all of our guests is, what advice would you give a friend if they told you, oh, I'm moving somewhere new, I'm in another place in the world, and I'm a little nervous? What kind of advice would you give to them on how to make themselves feel at home in a new place?
That's a good question. I think maybe that would be to be super open. That's my first my first thing, because you have to be super open to understand that it's a new place, that it's new people, that it's new habits. So you have to be adaptable and meet and go to others, like understanding the others, talking to the others. But it's not easy, of course, to move somewhere, because you lose everything you already know. And for myself, for example, it's I still don't know if I have my community. I'm starting it slowly, but it takes time. You can't get your phone and call someone and say, hey, let's meet all together, because you don't have all together. You have one person here, one person there. They don't know each other, so it's a bit tricky. But at the end, it's moving to a new place. It is a great challenge, and I'm quite happy for doing so. And for as an advice, I don't know, just to be open and understanding and patient, because it takes time to settle and to understand that, it's not where you used to be. Used to live. Yeah, I don't know. Did I answer?
Yeah, it's great advice. Great advice.
Thank you.
With that, I think we'll need to say goodbye to everybody. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio here. You've been listening to Making Yourself at Home at 104.4 FM at Access Radio Taranaki. This is Brian and Clara signing off. And have a great week, everybody.
Yeah, see you next Monday. Bye. Thank you, Jan.
Thank you, Clara. Thank you, Brian.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.